So we're continuing the series of interviews, bonus interviews, I should say, where we're between seasons here. We're leading up to the last and sixth and final season here of the podcast. So I'm conducting these interviews with, of course, the creators of the podcast. This is, of course, our interview today with the longest voice of them all, besides myself, is the narrator here. And that would be Frank Chucknowitz, who does our narration. So, and that's what I'm here with today. So, Frank, let's go back in your history a little bit. You were born and raised where?
I was born and raised in the fine burb of Philadelphia. And so I live outside of Philadelphia now, and I try not to have the accent, especially when I'm doing narration or any sort of audio production but that accent creeps in there, doesn't it?
I think it's inevitable that it will at some point. Yeah.
We say dumb things in Philly, like John. We call things John. Like, look at that John over there.
Yo comes up a lot.
Yo, use guys.
Yeah, use guys. You know what I'm saying? I can't help that. That happens, just falls out of my face. So yeah, I'm still stuck in it. So when you were coming up as a kid, how did you discover the art thing? Like, where did that come from? Was that your parents? Was that some other a member of your family? Was it outside of your family? Was it a friend? Where did you kind of discover that you were an artist? Like, how did that come to be?
I placed the blame squarely on Scooby-Doo cartoons.
How so?
Yes. So I was riveted to Scooby-Doo, and I guess I started to create my own little books as a kid, you know, like make, what do they call it? Construction paper bindings, and like bind the book together and then like do drawings and writing in there and kind of tell a story. And it was usually some derivative of something I watched on Scooby-Doo, and then just kind of spun off from there. I mean, we're talking like four or five at this point. So I was pretty young, didn't have a lot of life experience in me yet, not a lot of original creative thoughts. So I was going with what I knew. But that's where the artistic thing really started.
Is that also where kind of the horror, because, if people don't know your background, you're a lot largely a horror writer and dark fantasy and things like that. So is that also where some of the darkness started to originate from, as far as the influence with that? Because there were creepy stories and ghosts and whatever.
Yeah. I mean, as dark as Scooby-Doo gets, sure. Like, to a kid, it's a little scary. We watch it as an adult. We're like, oh, it's that old man Crothers behind the mask, and they rip the mask off.
Oh, it's old man.
It's silly. But, I think I had a very active imagination as a child. I would see things in the shadows. I would be convinced there's like a troll in the basement. There's a monster in my room at night, whatever, my imagination went there. And then I was always interested in storytelling. And then as I, got a little bit older, I got into things like Bigfoot and UFOs. And I was always that weird kid that when it was library period at school, I'd find the little section that's like way in the back of the library, down to the left in the corner, bottom two shelves. And it would be the Bermuda Triangle and cryptozoology and the hunt for Bigfoot and all that crazy stuff. But, that's the stuff that kind of scared me. So I have family in a rural part of Western Maryland. And so growing up in the city, I would spend parts of my summers out there with my family. And it's on a farm, and there's no traffic, no street lights, no sounds of anything except crickets and darkness. And for me, the thought of Bigfoot lurking around the outside of the house just wanted to reach in the windows and grab me. And so my terrified imagination would just kind of create these ridiculous scenarios until eventually I decided, I would get so afraid that I would decide that maybe if I joined with it, if I made friends with the fear, that's a way for me to kind of own it. And so then I realized I can tell these stories, and now I'm not as scared because I'm wielding it and just trying to scare other people in a playful way. It wasn't
terrorizing.
So of course, I evolved into the Boy Scout in my brief stint in the Boy Scouts that I used to actually go out into nature until I realized I don't like camping or any of that shit. But I'd be the one who would sit around the fire and tell the stories and scare everyone else, myself included.
So that was the age that you started. Would you say that you started as a storyteller? Like around, it was like 8 or 9, something like that.
Oh man, I don't, honestly, I don't, I'd say I'd go back to, I, as far as I can remember, I was.
Really? Okay. But yeah. when did you start like writing stories, actually like writing down stories? Do you remember that?
Again, 4 or 5, and then it evolved.
Four or five.
Yeah, it evolved wow. since then. So before back. I was even old enough to watch the Friday the 13th movies, I knew what they were. I knew who Jason with the hockey mask was.
Yeah.
I was drawing a comic strip about him murdering people and, you know, just kind of doing my own thing with it. And so, yeah, I've always have been a storyteller.
Right on. So later on then, when you got more serious about it, like say professionally, like, and you started knowing like, this is what you wanted to do, mm-hmm. who then became like your contemporaries? Who did you start looking at that time? Whenever that was, were you a teenager when you decided on that? Or like, when did you decide like, okay, I want to take this path professionally?
I think I was a teenager. I had gotten into role-playing games, horror role-playing games. So I was doing Call of Cthulhu, which was one of the standard, you know, horror RPGs out there. And I would have people tell me how terrifying my stories were. And they're like, you should be a writer. And I thought, I probably should. Come to think of it, I've been, you know, this comes naturally for me. And so I'm sorry, what was the question?
what around what age do you think you became like professionally minded about it? And then who were the contemporaries at that time that you were looking at as an influence, like Stephen King or, you know, Barker, or whoever, you know, whoever those guys were? That you were like, oh, I want to look at these guys as an example of what I want to do.
Yeah, so that's where you tricked me with the two-part question. I went off on a tangent, got confused. I guess I was around a teenager, and I was kind of deciding, well, what do I want to do with my life? And I'm in high school here, and I briefly had considered being a marine biologist, but I get seasick, so it ruled that out. And then, you know, my earlier aspirations of being a cryptozoologist didn't pan out, because at that point I think, oh, I don't really believe in Bigfoot anymore.
It's like, so
you're right. So I thought, well, I'd love to be a writer. And so teenage me is thinking, okay, well, so what's my plan? And I guess I knew the plan was go on to get a graduate degree and an MFA or something, and then teach writing. And I didn't want to do that. That's not for me. So I thought, okay, my plan is I'm going to get into psychology. I'm going to have a career in psychology. And then I'll write on the side until I thought I'd be a novelist until I, you know, whip out all these novels and become the next Stephen King or whoever. And so I did. I actually did all of that. I got into psychology, established my career and as a counselor, and you know, moved around. I'm behind the scenes now in an administrative role. But I've got the psychology experience, and then I kind of pivoted to writing later on. And that doesn't answer your question. Question also was about who the contemporaries were. Right. So, I mean, I'd read a lot of Stephen King. I read anything creepy I could get my hands on, and all the choose your own adventure books that had any hint of horror in it. But for me, I was probably way too young, but I got copies of Clive Barker's Books of Blood as a gift. And I was riveted. I would go to, my parents would take us to like parties with their friends, and there are other kids running around and playing. And I would hide under the coffee table because no one could disturb me there, and sit and read Books of Blood. And I'd never read anything as jarring or as beautiful as Clive Barker's works. And so he became a big influence on me. And then later on, of course, you know, as I got into Call of Cthulhu and the role-playing games and things, and I kind of looked back through the catalog of H.P. Lovecraft, and not to say that he was a fantastic writer in terms of craft, but his ideas and what he brought to the table in terms of, you know, being a modern cornerstone for horror, I really delved into Lovecraft.
His imagination, yeah. So, yeah, fantastical. And just, yeah, with the visions he invents and stuff, yeah. I get that. So when then, later on now, for people that don't know, Frank also makes movies. Because he and I made movies together.
Yes. And you mentioned my name. I'm also known as Frank Horror. That became Frank a Horror. an alias for me. So
that's right. Frank Chuck Nowitz is also known as Frank Har. So you can also visit the site frankhar.com to learn more about that, and we'll plug that again. When did then you think about the pivot then to making films? Because then you started to make movies. So where, how did that progression go from writing on paper to go, I want to do movies now? Because I'm kind of tracing up to how you became a voiceover artist for us. So I'm kind of doing the lineage here. So I'm just kind of
curious
how that path went.
It's been a long, interesting road, hasn't it?
Yeah, of course.
I'm sure for both of us.
Yeah.
So I was married at the time. And at this point, I was pretty well established in my career and wanted to kind of find meaning and purpose in my life again, I think, and look back at the arts and say, okay, now it's time for me to pick up the pen again and get serious with this. And so my wife at the time was the president, well, vice president, then president of an opera company in Philadelphia. And they did Gilbert and Sullivan musicals, which are dreadful. I hate Gilbert and Sullivan, but it was, you know, I supported her and I would go to all the parties and they were through some nice parties and everybody would, who I was starting to make friends with, would say, come on, join the theater company. You can just be backstage. You can help us build sets. And, you know, I was like, okay, all right, fine. And so I did that for a couple of years, but in the process of getting involved with this theater company, I met someone who in the company knew a filmmaker, an indie filmmaker in Philly. And so she did the introduction on, and I approached this filmmaker and I said, hey, you know, do you ever work with other writers or you just do your own stuff? She did short films. Yeah. And she said, give me a 5 to 7 page script. I said, okay. And so I did. And that was made into a short film. And I thought, oh, that's cool. And so I worked with her on another project. It was like one of those Project 21. It was you have 21 days. It was a contest where these teams have 21 days to make a film. And so I got involved in that. And then
I have to pause for one moment. I'm so embarrassed, but my cat is scratching at the door right now. So the door, he'll keep going. And then, you know, say,
okay.
Well, I do this because this is very.
Are we still recording? I want to see this.
We're still recording. Yeah, this will be
right.
Recording.
Is it too is it too dark in here? Am I like lurking around in the shadows? No, should I need?
You're fine. So this is Bilbo. Okay. For there's Bilbo. So
yeah.
In the chair with me. So I'm sorry about that. How professional.
We have
in the middle of the recording.
Your cat and I know each other from when you used to live in Philly area.
That's right. Yes, that's right. So he's very demanding right now. So, okay. So go back to it. So you're in the theater company. You did that first film. How much, like when you did that, were you solely there as a writer? Were you on set? Like, were you more like sort of removed from the process? Like, how did that go?
The first film, I was just a writer and I was on set and the filmmaker would look at me and say, well, what do you think? I'm like, I don't know. It looks good to me. Like, I didn't go to film school. So then the second film, I came on as one of the writers. They had multiple writers and our actor, something happened. I don't know. It was a funeral or something. And, you know, we're on a timeline and we have 21 days to pump this thing out. And so it was a comedy and it was kind of dark, but it was a comedy and we were stuck. And so the filmmaker said, do you know the lines? Do you want to be the lead? I was like, what? And yeah, so I ended up being the lead. I was like I forget his name, but he was a failed country musician who was desperately trying to get his foot in the industry. And so anyway, it was ridiculous. And so that was my first foray into like acting in short films.
I don't know if I'd heard this story.
I mean, I had acted before and I've done voice acting. Like as in my late teens, I did an extracurricular school that was for like media production.
Oh, cool.
So like I wrote for radio plays that was on like college radio and, you know, acted in some of them. And so I had been involved a little bit, but I hadn't gone to film school.
Okay.
So after that experience, I decided I can do this. I can make my own films. I don't need to rely on another filmmaker. And so I kind of took some of the backstage crew from the theater company. I said, hey, do you want to be my crew on the film? And they're like, yeah. So
Nice.
I don't know why they had that voice. They just like, yeah, like a cartoon. Anyway, I took my cartoon crew and we started started making a film. And so my first short film, short, I use in quotes because I dove right in and it was like 45 minutes. I'm
Oh
like,
my
oh
God, that's
wow.
a short. Oh my
That
God,
was my first two
almost
short
a
films, were
feature. Oh
45 minutes long.
wow.
And then I realized, I don't need to be such a masochist. And actually, shorter films play better at festivals anyway. So
They do.
again, all this is on the Frank Hard podcast channel. Get it wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, and then also they can look at everything on your website, frankhard.com.
Correct.
Okay, so I want to thank my guest today.
Oh, I
Oh
want to
yeah,
say one more thing. I
yeah.
am on Instagram as at Frank Horror Official. And there's also a really cool horror social media app called Slasher. And so it's like Facebook, but just for horror fans. And nobody talks about politics or
Oh,
any of
nice.
that bullshit. They talk about horror movies and horror memes. And it's a good place to kind of get movie recommendations and interact with other
Oh.
fans or other creators. And so on Slasher, on the Slasher app, I am also on there as at Frank Horror Official if you want to connect.
Cool. Very cool. Thanks a lot for joining me today, Frank. I really appreciate it. And listen for Frank's voice.
Thank you.
Yeah, listen for Frank's voice coming up in the as our narrator, of course, of the final season of Void. All right, I gotta wrap it up there. One moment.